Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
To have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, look, I'm really excited. I think we're just going to get straight into it because, Irene, I've been talking, well, I keep talking to you about it, but I never do anything about it. How we're going to, and we'll do this next year, we're going to do a little bit of a series on the human body and have a bit of a light-hearted look at the woman's body, right from baby to saggy boobs and to the men's body as well, you know, right down to the dropping balls and the lowering of the voice and all of that type of stuff. Anyway. I was telling Anne-Marie, remember last week Anne-Marie came online and I was telling her that we were going to do this to see whether she'd like to come along and, you know, be part of that. And she said, well, I'll tell you, I could talk about something, and that's what women wouldn't want. Anyway, stay with us. We'll tell you all about it in a minute, and we've got Anne-Marie back to talk about it.
Once upon a younger year, when all our shadows disappeared, the animals inside came out to play. Went face to face with all our fears, learned our lessons through the tears, made memories we knew would never fade. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said one day you'll leave this world behind, so live a life you will. Can't put out, carve your name into those shining stars. He said, go venture far beyond the shores. Don't forsake this life of yours. I'll guide you home no matter where you are. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. When I was just a kid, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said, one day behind, so live a life you will remember. My father told me when I was just a child, these are the nights to never die. My father told me.
What is it?
It's endriomitis or something. I don't know. Apparently it's very, very evil. See, and anything that I can't say the word, I think is evil. Anne-Marie, welcome back. What Hello. Is it that we're talking about?
We're talking about endometriosis.
Endometriosis. Right. Okay.
Right. Now, interestingly enough, when Anne-Marie did mention this to me, I remembered, again, in the paper just recently, how there is a huge amount of women that suffer from this, and in Counties Monaco, this was the story was about, they just haven't got time to treat it. It's not a priority. But let's find out actually what it is. Anne-Marie, tell us about it. What is it? And firstly, thank you for sharing this, because you've told me a little bit, and I just think it's amazing that you're here to share it.
It definitely needs to be talked about. I think there's little drips and drabs that we see in the media, but basically to explain, endometriosis is where the lining that grows in the womb grows outside of the womb, so it grows outside of the uterus, and it grows to, you know, it can grow on your bowel, it can grow on your intestines, your stomach, it can grow pretty much anywhere that tissue can grow. But unlike a period, so when you have your cycle, you can shed the lining of your uterus, but with endometriosis, there's nowhere for it to go, so eventually it starts to stick everything together. So,
ouch.
Ouch.
It's horrible.
Yes. Yeah. I think people think, well, it's just a bit of tissue growth, but it's actually, it's more than a period. It's more than cramps. It's always. So, yeah.
So the symptoms, so just talk us through some of the symptoms of, I'm still not going to say it, I'm just going to say of it. So Endy, I'm going to nickname it Endy.
Endy. Okay. So the symptoms of endometriosis are really heavy periods that can go on. Some women have periods that go on for weeks.
Bugger that.
Absolutely excruciatingly painful. It's if you can't get out of bed or you can't function with menstrual cramps, then you most likely need to go and speak to a doctor about the potential of you having endometriosis. Yeah. As you mentioned before, it's incredibly common. About 1 in 10 women have it. So,
how does that impact then on? I mean, I can imagine even just life, but also work life. Well, all of life actually, the quality of life. How does that must have a huge impact?
So, depending on how severe your endometriosis is, it has gradual. Differing effects on your life. So I haven't been diagnosed with a specific stage yet. I'm still awaiting that. But people with can suffer. You can be off work. You can be not able to work because you're chronically tired all the time, because it can cause anemia in you, and you can be so tired that you can't work. You can be in excruciating pain a lot of the time. Endometriosis sufferers quite often get painted as people that are looking for drug seekers by hospitals here, which is unfortunate, because I can guarantee you we're not drug seekers. We're just looking for some relief.
Just some pain relief.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Girls who are still at school can miss a lot of school if it's A, very heavy, or B, very painful. It has a huge effect on a lot of women's lives. I'm able to still work, which is great. I have a very supportive employer, thank you, Brendan, which is great. I can still work, and I have the flexibility that if I do have a flare-up that I can work from home or be able to manage my condition in that way. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just wondering, now this is going to sound as if I'm making it all about me, and I certainly aren't, but all the symptoms that you just said then and everything related to it, I wonder if this is only something that they've known about in latter years, sort of thing, because when I was young, I would only have 1 week without a period. It was constant pain all the time, and you just sucked it in, and it was sort of what you did. Yep. And they'd give you these pain pills and things, and I'd refuse to take them because I've always been an anti-drug type person. And then when I was 30, and I was always asking for a hysterectomy because they said that was the only way that they could change anything, and they refused to give it to me. And then when I was 30, my womb collapsed, and so they had to give me an emergency operation. And ever since then, I'm constantly promoting, have a hysterectomy to anybody who suffers badly from period pains and don't want to have any more children, you know. So I'm always saying it'll change your life, like it did mine. I mean, my life just changed totally, but they never ever put a word on it. I just had a problem with my periods as far as they were concerned.
I think we're sort of coming into the stage where it's okay to talk about women's health and talk about periods. I think for a long time there was a stigma around women's health. You know, it's all in your head. It's just, you know, it's just women's issues and something you need to deal with. I think medical practitioners and GPs, especially my GP, has come, they've come a long way in the way of thinking. In terms of a hysterectomy is a great option for those people who have finished having kids, but unfortunately it's not not a cure for endometriosis because it can still grow. Yes, unfortunately, it can still grow. You can still have endometrial growth after you have a hysterectomy. People think that hysterectomies or pregnancy are a cure for endometriosis, and they're not. There's new research out that states that.
Have they figured out actually what causes it?
No, there's no research into a cure and be a reason. They just, it's one of those things that just happens. So hopefully one day they'll sort of figure that out. But a lot of what is pushed at the moment is just controlling your hormones. Treatment in New Zealand specifically is not where it should be unless you go private. So there's a number of private options for you to go to in New Zealand, but they are out of reach for most New Zealanders, unfortunately. And as you mentioned, Counties Manukau have decided that endometriosis treatment is not a priority for them, which is unfortunate for the women living in Counties District. Waitemata also have decided that endometriosis treatment is not a priority for them. I am very fortunate in the fact that Auckland District Health Board have taken me quite seriously, and I've been able to get the help and the treatment that I need, which has been great. But up and down New Zealand, endometriosis sufferers are really doing it tough because there is just no treatment available for them through the health board. So,
goodness me, that's shocking.
Now, I'm just saying, I'm just looking at the site here, and it's estimated to affect 176 million girls and women worldwide, and 120,000 in New Zealand.
Yep,
and they won't recognise it or treat it. I mean, these various different health boards are saying it's not a priority. How on earth can they do that?
That's a huge, as you said, the quality of life of somebody to, and
absolutely,
if it's just pain, drug, all I can give you is kind of drugs to
maybe we're
pain.
Not speaking out enough about this particular thing, because I mean we can hardly say the word because we've had and didn't really understand. I mean, I have a friend who has it, and I still haven't really understood what it was all about. And now I'm hearing that health boards and that don't accept it or give any priority or treat it in any way. Maybe it just needs to be put out there.
Well, there is treatments, isn't it? But I mean, obviously, I suppose it's like anything. If you don't know what causes it, I suppose it's hard also to actually treat it.
Yeah, so the treatment that is the most effective for endometriosis is excision surgery, which is where they remove the tissue from your body. That doesn't happen a lot in the public health system. Privately, you can get it. It's no problem at all. In New Zealand, they try and use ablation, which is where they burn it off. But when you burn it off, it still can grow back. It grows back slower, but it does grow back. With excision, your chance of it growing back is a little bit slimmer. Often recommend the Mirena for you, which is an IUD that you have inserted, or they'll try and push you into taking more hormone pills. That's
so like the pill.
You can take something called norhesterine. There's some things called like tranexamic acid, which can help control the bleeding. But the number one most effective way of treating endometriosis is excision surgery, and currently that is only mostly available in the private system.
Wow, isn't that interesting? Is that like a keyhole surgery?
Yeah, so it's laparoscopic surgery that they go through. They go through your belly button, and then they have two on either side of your belly button, so they go through your abdomen. I had a person that I know through the Endometriosis New Zealand support group who had it done recently, and it took 5 hours. It's major surgery. You're under anaesthetic for a very long time. So I can see why health boards are a little bit hesitant to maybe fund it as much as they can, but there's no excuse really. All women and people who suffer from endometriosis, I think I need to be a little bit careful saying women, because people who identify not as women can still suffer from endometriosis. I think the people who suffer from endometriosis need the treatment. We're entitled to receive the treatment for our condition. So.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, do things like, I can imagine you've probably tried lots of things, and then, I mean, us that don't have it will probably say, well, have you tried this? Have you? Does diet or anything, have you tried different diets and different foods? Does that help?
So, endometriosis sufferers, the best way of supporting someone with endometriosis is to just understand that what they're going through and provide support. We've tried everything under the sun to try and get our condition under control. Don't eat gluten. Eat gluten. Don't eat dairy. Eat dairy. But there's a lot of conflicting advice out there. I I've been to a nutritionist, I've been to a dietitian, I've been to the doctor, I go to a chiropractor, I've been to an osteo. There's a lot of treatment that's available out there. A holistic approach is really great to complement a more traditional medicine approach as well. So you can try Chinese herbs, acupuncture, things like that. They can relieve the symptoms. But if you know someone with endometriosis, don't recommend things to them, especially things like essential oils, because it's not the best. We just need someone to listen to our complaints, really.
You said, you know, at your work that you get a lot of support. So when you're thinking of a workplace, you know, and either people are absent or they're cramping and in pain, obviously what I'm hearing there is the first thing, don't say, have you tried this? Do you think that might work? How else can we maybe support somebody within our workplace?
The best thing to do is just, you know, try and be as nice as possible to someone, you know. If you're an employer, I really highly recommend checking out the Endometriosis New Zealand website and finding out how you can support an employee with endometriosis or doing a little bit of research. I think that's really important. I think especially if you have a male boss like I do, sometimes there isn't that understanding and there's some stigmatism around, you know, it's just a bad period, it's just women's issues, which I think needs to be, you know, shut down. I think it needs to be treated just as serious as any other condition. If you have a friend or a colleague that has endometriosis, just be supportive of them. You know, sometimes don't be annoyed if they don't meet your targets or your deadlines sometimes, because sometimes it can just, and it click, and it just happens. So it's just, yeah, you can be fine in the morning, and in the evening you can have such a big flare that you look 6 or 7 months pregnant. It's just, yeah, horrible.
Oh, gosh, this is incredible. We're just going to take a wee break, and then we're going to come back and we're just going to ask Anne-Marie what's kind of worked for her, or the things that she's heard that have worked quite well other than our conventional medicine. We'll be back with you shortly.
Just join
joined us. We are here with Anne-Marie, and she's talking about her endometriosis.
Endometriosis.
That's the one. All right. So, Anne-Marie, what have you... I mean, obviously, everybody's journey is probably quite different, but what have you found works for you?
So, lots of people try eating a more gluten-free, dairy-free diet. That hasn't really worked specifically for me. I haven't really cut anything out, but I have been going to the chiropractor, and that's been very good. Seeing Dr. Josh at Chiropractic Connection has been fantastic. Getting my spine and my body in alignment helps to ease some of the pressure that I feel within my abdomen, which has been perfect. But there are so many things that you can try that a lot of people in my support group have tried. Acupuncture is really great. I have a friend who takes Chinese herbal medicine. That's been really good for her. There's definitely lots of treatments, but I definitely recommend speaking to your GP before you try anything sort of really outrageously wild to make sure that it's going to complement the treatment that you're already on.
That's actually really, that is sound advice, because you're right, especially with our Chinese medication as well, the herbs, sometimes that contraindicates some of our medication as well. So really, really important to talk about that.
One thing I have tried that has worked really well is cutting out alcohol. That's been a
really great. Oh, no.
That's
right, wine.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Especially when you love
a
wine.
I'm so glad that I didn't have it.
We shouldn't say that because we don't need alcohol anyway, but okay, so that's
been really,
really
helpful, I had to cut it out because it has an interaction with one of the medications that I've been put on, but cutting it out has been fantastic in terms of energy, really, and not having such horrific pains the next day after, you know, you've been having too many lemonades.
I remember back in my day, and I don't know whether this might be because your day's a little bit further than my day, Irene.
Oh, I love you.
But I remember at school when they came round and talked to us girls, only girls. I think this day boys and girls get talked about it, but when they talked to us girls about periods and menstruation and all of that, and I think their only advice to us if we did have any pain was to get a hot water bottle.
Mm. Oh, yes, the hot water bottle has been going on for a long time, and or take a Panadol. And that was about it. It wasn't something that got talked about in my day either.
Is there anything that you did that you can remember?
Absolutely nothing. I was one of these people who from a very young age sort of learnt to just blank it out and get on with it. But, I mean, I remember things that were traumatic, which today wouldn't be acceptable. Like, I'm not going to get into great details now, but the being in high school, for instance, and you have your two class periods that would be 30 minutes long. So if you had a double, like maths was always a double, it was an hour long. That wasn't long enough for me. I had to always leave halfway through to be able to keep myself, you know,
in one
piece, and even then it often wasn't enough. So it's very, very embarrassing for a 14, 15-year-old girl in high school, and not talked about by anybody at all in any way.
Mm. And I think it's good that we've changed the sort of stigma that sits around it compared to even 20 years ago. Mm. I think it's good that we're having these conversations around people who suffer with endometriosis. So you don't need to... There's a great program, once again, the Endometriosis New Zealand run around endometriosis in schools, which I think is a really useful tool for teachers to take a look at and try and support those students, because quite often, unless you tell somebody what's going on and you get a little bit of understanding, then having to pop to the restroom sort of midway through a class is kind of unacceptable. I remember even at school for me, it was sort of frowned upon leaving halfway through. That's why you get lunch periods. Well, man, I'm not going to make it to lunch. So,
But let me make it clear. I mean, the hysterectomy definitely cured me. I mean, my whole life just went, ooh, from then on. So I don't think I had it at all.
And for some people, it does. It is a cure, but yeah.
So, Anne-Marie, the website that people can go to find out?
Just type in Endometriosis New Zealand into Google and something should come up, or on Facebook or on Instagram. The best way is of finding it. Yep.
So if you want any more information, we'll also put that up on our Facebook page. And again, if you have any questions or just want to talk to somebody, I'm sure Anne-Marie would be quite happy to, because I think when you connect, I mean, I've been sitting here right through our program kind of really struggling to understand it, because I have been lucky enough not to have any issues with my periods all throughout my whole life as well. And so sometimes it is quite difficult to understand what someone else is actually going through when you haven't been through it yourself. So do reach out and, you know, as I say, let's continue to talk about this. Well, that's all we have time for this week. And I think we will get Anne-Marie back when we do talk about our woman's body and our wobbly bits and saggy bits and pert bits as well on that bit. Anyway, we'll see you guys the same time, same place next week. And remember to just check out the Facebook page.